hello, hello, once again, all my fellow patriots and you filthy leftist stalkers out there. You are listening to Angela's Soapbox on Raging Elephants Radio. My name is Angela Box. Some quick housekeeping before we jump into all the insanity of this week. I swear, time is moving so fast that I literally, from day to day, I don't know, like, what was I talking about yesterday? What was I thinking was important? I mean, it's all going so fast. Okay, but I like to make a compendium of everything going on in our current insanity, pop culture, political world. Everything is warehoused on angelasoapbox.com, my videos. I have articles that I've written, this broadcast of Raging Elephants Radio that you should be listening to live at 10 a.m. or noon on Saturdays does get turned into Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio podcast. All of that is on angelasoapbox.com. You can follow me on Rumble, on BitChute. Instagram is at The Box That Rocks. Truth Social is at Angela Box. And Facebook is Angela Box Public. I'm going to be honest, I don't engage a lot on my public Facebook or Truth Social. I'm just not good with social media. Like, one of these days, I'm going to have a team. And this team is going to help me, you know, blast content out and do all this stuff for me that I really don't want to do. But in the meantime, please follow me over there. All right. Every week on my show, I like to dedicate a sea turtle killing plastic straw to a filthy leftist or sometimes a nasty recalcitrant rhino Republican. But I think for the third week in a row, no, last week I went to Shejack, the congresswoman, as Michael Berry says. This week it's going to Lena Hidalgo again. Y'all, this woman is so toast. If you don't know who Lena Hidalgo is, if you're listening outside of Texas, she's the Harris County judge. She's an absolute disaster. She's the Democrat Soros puppet, and she's getting ready to get her ass spanked by Alex Mueller. Let's take a swig. Just drinking water today out of my Let's Go Brandon FJB sticker that I have on my reusable water bottle. That, by the way, climate Nazis, I've had for many, many years, if not decades, I call it a squeezy. I've had a squeezy ever since I was in high school because my mother, my late mother, God rest her soul, big water drinker. She made us water drinkers from when we were little kids. There was no soda in the house, no Cokes. And we had Tab. My mother had Tab back in the day. And, you know, later on, she was a little more loose. But, you know, those early things that she ingrained in us, the healthy cereals and the fruits and vegetables and all that stuff. Good stuff. Thank you, Mom. And especially the water. Anyway, I've got a water bottle. I've used it for years. And I guess I'm better than you, climate Nazis. Anyway. All right. So it's going to Dora again. Let's talk about why. So, as y'all know, I've been on this heifer like white on rice about this stupid survey she put out called Harris Poll. And it defamed me and Dr. Mary Bowden by name. And I found out this week after I'm going to tangent this for a second. This week, the Houston Chronicle, in an earthquake move. Now, you have to understand, the Houston Chronicle is about as left wing as you can get. OK, they are full of leftists. Their editorial board is full of leftists. They live and breathe what the left thinks. So, I mean, I you know, like every journalist, so-called journalist, they're the status quo. The left is the status quo. Okay, this is how bad Lena Hidalgo is, okay? They have never, and I mean never, endorsed a Republican. It is rare that the Houston Chronicle will endorse any Republican. Fairly certain that they either have or will endorse the hair lip, Beto O'Rourke, just like the multi-talented Harry Styles, the lady boy who wears makeup and nail polish and puts on dresses for Gucci. Harry Styles endorsed Beto, and so did Lin-Manuel Miranda, who decided to cast his play Hamilton with a bunch of non-white actors because that's exactly who the founding fathers were. Anyway, they're all endorsing Beto. I'm sure the Houston Chronicle will as well. But the Chronicle came out this week and endorsed Alex Mueller for Harris County Judge, Alexandra Del Moral Mueller. And it was like a clunky, apologetic, like, sorry, we don't really want to have to endorse this bigoted right-wing Nazi, but, you know, that's how bad Lena Hidalgo is. I mean, y'all, Lena Hidalgo is so bad that the Houston Chronicle was like, we got to throw in the towel. In fact, I was up at a local news station. I'm not going to say which one this week. And I'm not going to say who this reporter is because, you know, you got to keep that stuff under wraps. But the reporter says to me, he goes, Box, did you hear? The Chronicle threw in the towel. They endorsed Mueller. And I was like, wow, like this is huge. So on their Twitter, on the Houston Chronicle's Twitter, I mean, the left is just melting over this. They're like, oh, I can't believe you endorsed a Trump Nazi. No MAGA Nazis in Houston. Oh, I'm canceling my subscription. And since, you know, Twitter doesn't have any conservatives on there anymore that are just everyday conservatives like me, you know, they can't suspend every blue checkmark conservative, but they can certainly suspend people on their radar who may not have a blue checkmark, but who may be a problem to their status quo, like yours truly, which they, again, suspended me over a year ago. So there's the ratio on these tweets was really funny because it's the left, you know, stomping and freaking out. And so one of the psychotic leftists posted a story from the Texas Signal. And I was like, let me look at this story because I bet I'm named in the story because it said, here's a list of the right-wing Nazis or like some of Alex Mueller's supporters, okay? So I look at this thing and I'm like, oh, let me look at this because I guarantee you that my name is going to be in this somehow, somewhere. And I'm on my Instagram and it's not opening for me, of course, because that is how things go right now. But sure enough, the Texas Signal had this ridiculous hyperbolic story. Let me just see if I can Google this real quick because it's not popping up. I bet it'll pop up. Here we go. It's so good, you guys. It's so good. Okay. So some psychotic leftist posted the Texas Signal's article. It says, op-ed, Alexandra Mueller's gang of liars, bigots, and MAGA extremists. This is fine. Diana Martinez Alexander. This is the Texas Signal. Okay, so she's got a bunch of people listed here. Ted Cruz, let's see, Beverly Olmertz Roberts, never heard of her, Mary Talley Bowden, Dot Green. So there's like four or five of us, and I'm listed right before or right after Dr. Mueller. So let me read this to you. Angela Box, you guys, I'm living rent-free in their brains. I am living rent-free in their brains. So I'll just read you a little bit of this. Angela Box is a former elementary school teacher who was fired. Not true. I was forced to resign, but whatever, same difference. After saying that she hoped Obama would get Ebola and calling Muslims goat effers and bacon haters. I'm sorry. Is that, are they not, or some, are they not goat effers and bacon haters? Is that an incorrect statement? If you don't know this backstory, back in the day, I was doing Tommy's Garage and, you know, Ebola was really big. That was the first time they tried to do the pandemic, but they really realized like it would hurt Democrats. So they couldn't really push it as hard as they'd want to. Because in reality, Ebola was a lot more deadly than the Rona by far. But, you know, I was like, oh, can Ebola take one for the team and take out Obama? Obviously a joke, obviously satire, because I never had a Secret Service member visit me. But, you know, there was this video and the goat fucker comment, you know, people have been every time this little inside baseball stuff. Anytime I get a manager, a booker, a publicist approach me and they're like, oh, I'd really like to work with you. Da-da. And then they Google me and they're like, ooh, you said goat effer. I'm like, okay, that was 8 years ago. Number one. Number two, little context, shall we? So here's the context of that comment. There was an undercover Mossad, Israeli intelligence agency, filmed a bunch of ISIS fighters banging a bunch of goats. Okay. They got it on film. So they showed that clip. And I was like, and then at the same time, there was also stories of how these Islamists were using children as sex slaves and boys in particular as sex slaves. So I said, you know, these goat effing and boy effing Muslims. And, you know, what is it not true? But, you know, all the publicists, all the managers are like, oh, clutching their pearls. Like, oh, we can't work with Angela. I'm like, oh, give me a break. Anyway, so let me continue this. Rather than, so this is what the left always wants from us. They want us to grovel. They want us to beg. They want us to apologize. They want us to surrender. We never surrender, filthy leftists. Do you hear me? Like, I am not the MFing one. I am not the one who will ever kiss your ass or surrender. So this is what this Diana Martinez Alexander said. Rather than reflection or remorse, Box spun that episode into a new career as a right-wing talking head blogger. Thank you, Diana. In June of 2022, Box posted a video deriding Pride Month as a quote, demonic scam. Da, 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 da. And then she went on with you know, yeah, the LGBTQ stuff. So basically, she went into my video, she listened to my podcast. Like, thank you. Hi, Diana, if you're listening, you filthy leftist. She went in, she listened to a few things, she pulled a few things, put it out of context, as they always do, whatever. So the point about all of this is this. I think that Lena Hidalgo and her team used the Texas Signals information or this little story that they put out about me in, and they put that information into their little Harris poll survey, which, by the way, I filed a public records request this week with the Office of Harris County Judge because they weren't responding to anything. They weren't returning phone calls. They weren't responding to emails, nothing. So finally, I was like, let me figure out who I need to call. And after, you know, Googling it for 2 hours and trying to figure out how to file a public information request, my dumb ass finally was like, maybe I should just call the Office of Harris County Judge and find out how I can do this. So I literally wasted 2 hours of my Monday doing, you know, trying to figure this out until I just called the office and they were like, all right, here's the email, whatever. And my friend Jackie Hill, who's Miss, oh, there goes the timer. I'm still going. I'm just going to keep talking. My friend Jackie Abreu-Hill, who's Harris, Houston, Texas Kids First on Instagram, blowing up on Instagram. Go follow her. She's getting all kinds of people sending her dirt about the schools. Kincaid is on her radar. A lot of these woke, private, you know, super rich, white leftist schools, in addition to all the public schools that are all woke, people are sending her stuff left and right. Anyway, she told me, she said, listen, if you want to file a public information request, you need to make sure to ask, don't ask a question because they won't answer any questions. So she said, you need to say provide. So let me see, let me look at my email really quick. And I want to read these to you because I want to be on the record for what I said to the lady at the Harris County Judge. Now, for the record, her name is Catherine Case, and in parentheses underneath her signature, she has, of course, she, her pronouns. I'm like, oh my God, make this insanity stop. So here are my questions. Let's see. The Office of Harris County Judge or the reelection and/or election campaign of Lena Hidalgo for Harris County Judge put out a survey via Qualtrics consultancy called Harris Poll. And then I listed the poll. Provide when the survey was commissioned. Provide who paid for the survey. Provide survey results from Harris Poll. Provide invoices from either Harris County Judge or the Lena Hidalgo campaign for Harris County Judge from Qualtrics consultancy regarding Harris Poll. Provide complete invoices from January 2019 to current between the Office of Harris County Judge and Qualtrics consultancy. So, ladies and gentlemen, we will discover who paid for that poll, how much they paid for it, what the results were, and what we're going to do next. So, Lena, Dora, who got, oh, by the way, Dora got booed out of the commissioner's court this week. I mean, there were like dozens of cops there, in addition to community leaders, just railing on this heifer, railing on these commissioners. My friend Dorothy Hablinski had a brilliant 1 minute statement. She said, look around the cities in this country that are going to hell in a handbasket. What do they all have in common? Oh, that's right. They're all run by Democrats. Well, guess what, Harris County? Guess what, Commissioner's Court? Guess what, Lena? Guess what, every Sylvester Turner? I've got dirt on Sylvester Turner too. I'm trying to get Aubrey Taylor to come on and do my show. He's really reticent to doing shows because he feels like it puts a bullseye on him. And I'm like, listen, you're the best person to explain all this. He's got dirt on these black so-called leaders having gay male orgies, quote bisexual, which I don't really think men can be bisexual, but that's a whole other issue. Bisexual men, these gay black men having orgies with each other in the city of Houston and around Texas. He's got so much dirt on that. He's got so much dirt on Sheila Jackson Lee. He's got so much dirt on election fraud, dead people voting, blah, blah, everything. Okay. So it's getting ready to be a huge wake up call to these people. So Dorothy was like, who runs these counties? It's Democrats. You are destroying everything on purpose. You are making it impossible to live here. This is a quality of life issue for Houstonians. This is a quality of life issue for people in Dallas, for people in Fort Worth, for people in Fort Bend, for people in Tarrant County, whatever. Any bigger metropolitan area, it is a quality of life issue. To say that black people and brown people don't want to have safe cities and safe streets and to not have homeless people run up on them and beat them up, like my friend Marissa Hansen got beat up after commissioner's court. Some homeless guy broke her arm and nothing and jumped her. Nothing happens to him. Of course not, because he's black or brown and he's homeless. And so, of course, he won't get arrested and nothing will happen to him. This is a quality of life issue. And this is an equal protection under the law issue. And Democrats do not want to have equal protection under the law. They want equity. And if there's equity, if you're white, you don't get justice. If you're black, you get out of jail with no bail, and then you go on to commit other crimes. If you're black, you shouldn't be in jail in the first place because obviously some white racist put you in jail, when in fact it was your own actions that put you in jail. See, this is the big difference between Democrats and Republicans, okay? The biggest I can, and it really does distill it into a very simple concept, okay? Republicans believe in individuals and content of character and golden ruling it and judging people based on an individual basis. Democrats believe in groups of people and groups of people containing power and groups of people even either having justice or injustice. They do not see people as individuals. They see people as groups that can be manipulated and used for their own purposes. That is why Democrats love big government. That is why Democrats hate individual freedom. That is why Democrats hate, and I mean hate, things like school choice and getting kids out of government schools, because that takes away a massive indoctrination machine right there. So, Lena, this segment's gone really long. Lena, let me tell you something, Heifer. I'm not going away. You're getting ready to get indicted after the election. She fully expects to be indicted for the COVID money scam kickback. And someone else was telling me this about Lena. I can't verify it. So, take this with a grain of salt. But this is someone who would know. It's a reporter. He told me. He said, Lena Hidalgo, before she was Harris County judge, her and her live-in boyfriend, and it's funny because I've heard she's gay, but I guess she has a live-in boyfriend, whatever. She probably claims she's gay just to check that box, but I don't think she's gay. Anyway, her and her boyfriend like lived in the skids, basically. Lived in not a very nice neighborhood, like a kind of a scuzzy area of Montrose. Like Montrose is the gay mecca of Houston, basically. But it's like any. There's some nice places, some not so nice places. Some that have been more gentrified, some that are still kind of scuzzy, whatever. So they lived in one of the scuzzy parts of Montrose. And then she becomes Harris County Judge. And then this COVID contract comes in. And all of a sudden, she's living in a real fancy place in a much nicer neighborhood. Now, I'm not saying that she 100% knew about the kickbacks, but I think it's safe to say that if her three closest aides have been indicted for fraud over this, I don't think there's any chance in hell that Lena didn't know about this. Just like I don't think there's any chance in hell she didn't know about this poll. This Harris poll survey. So, honey, I am a dog with the bones. I may not be able to sue you. Probably would never be able to sue you. But I am going to find out who paid for this poll. And if it was paid for by taxpayers, you're in big trouble because it was electioneering. All right, guys, you are listening to Angela's Soapbox on Raging Office Radio. I am just getting started. We'll be right back.
Since 2014, I've constantly said in public that the legitimacy of the Texas government was in question. Now, I know it is illegitimate. Why? Because our election process is without integrity. It is untrustworthy. As a Texan, no, you cannot have confidence in the election results that are reported to you. Whether your candidate won or lost, whether the election was a primary or a general, you must understand that this is fact. On November 8th, make this the last time that electronic voting devices are used in any Texas election. Come January 2023 in the legislative session, make Austin get rid of the voting machine. Election integrity should be the number one legislative priority, and no other bill should be passed until the machines are thrown into dumpsters. I'm Apostle Claver T. Kamau Imani of RagingElephantsRadio.com, the rebellious voice of Texas liberty.
It's no secret about the censorship that big technology companies are practicing as we speak. Are there ways to get around this? For us, the Raging Elephants Radio, and for you, the Raging Elephants Radio app is the way to do that. It gives us direct communication to you with no middleman, no Facebook, no Google, no Twitter, Raging Elephants Radio, and you in direct connection, no interception. Beat the censorship. Download the Raging Elephants Radio app.
Welcome back to Angela's Soapbox on Raging Office Radio. I swear, I need a hot tea with lemon stand in my apartment because, as you can probably tell from my voice, it's a little crackly and craggly and, you know, very sexy, but it's wild. Like, if I had to do a 3-hour day show, I wouldn't have a voice left. Like, this is what happens when you talk all day, every day for your job and everything else. Okay, so much more going on. The red wave that is on its way, and the Democrats are losing lots of ways that they can cheat. There was a big ruling in the Supreme Court this week that struck down Pennsylvania's mail-in ballot scam. Clearly, the ballot harvesting has now been brought to light because of 2,000 mules, and I think states are working on fixing those issues, especially in red states. The universal mail-in balloting is a scam, as we know. The election machines, we now have the first election arrest with this Eugene Yu with Koenig. I think there's way, 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 way more to come. Way more to come. I think we're going to find out at the end of the day that people like Sidney Powell, people like Mike Lindell, people like Phil Waldron and Seth Keschel have been right about this from day one. There was massive election interference. Greg Phillips, Catherine Elberg, and it happened in multiple ways in multiple jurisdictions. And they were all working in tandem, not directly with each other, but they were all working in tandem. And remember that, you know, when the Democrats want to import illegal aliens, it's not because they love illegal aliens. OK, it's not that they want more diversity in their neighborhoods, because as we see, they're not really big fans of diversity when it comes to their lily white leftist neighborhoods like Martha's Vineyard, Aspenvale, Berkeley, Palo Alto, all these places that the best governor of America, Ron DeSantis, and hopefully Greg Abbott and him, and Ducey and Arizona and whoever else. Let's powwow. let's make a list of like the top 20 places we need to be sending these migrants. I say send them back to Martha's Vineyard. Keep sending them. Do it. Send them to Hamptons. All of them. Make a list. Send them all there. Don't send them to any red states. Don't send them to any red cities. Send them all to left-wing sanctuary cities and states, especially the whiter and the richer, the better. Because, you know, they need some diversity too. Don't you think? I think so. I mean, think of all the maids and gardeners they can choose from. I'm right. I mean, think of all the diversity that will be coming into their schools. I mean, isn't that diversity is our strength, right? We should welcome all the illegal aliens. Anyway, we know that the Democrats, they only want them to become future Democrat voters. And this week in Colorado, Griswold, the detestable Secretary of State, who is along with Jocelyn Benson in Michigan, along with Katie Hobbs, Secretary of State, running for governor in Arizona, who's running away from debating Carrie Lake, who is just a complete scam, participated in a slave auction in her high school, which would basically have ended any single Republican's career right then and there. But Katie Hobbs gets a pass, whatever. All these secretaries of state, all these Soros plants, essentially, were the ones in charge of Brad Raffensperger in Georgia. He's a Republican in name only. All these people, you know, looked the other way, did what they needed to do to make sure that the elections were postponed, whatever they needed to do to make sure that Biden won their state, whatever. So Griswold in Colorado admitted, whoopsie, we accidentally, she admitted this because she got caught. Okay, let's keep it 100. We found that we accidentally mailed 30,000 mail-in ballots to illegal aliens. Whoopsie. So this is what the Democrats are doing. They are opening the borders like we've never seen before. 2 million in the calendar year in October alone. They want these people to vote in the upcoming elections. It's like, I get it. You're bringing them in, but they don't speak English. They think that they can just, get them, send them into California where they can get California IDs. And then I guess ship them to other states where they can use that California ID or the New York ID to then get an ID for that. Whatever. They're going to have them vote. That's the whole point. We know this. All right. But I don't think that all of their trickery, their crime, their fraud is going to work this time. I mean, right now, the GOP is projected to score 4 gubernatorial wins in the midterms, including deep blue states like Nevada. Well, not it's not deep blue. It's blue. It's not deep blue. And Oregon. Now, Oregon is an interesting case because the leftists, this is what's so great. So the leftists nominated this complete lunatic. I don't even know a person's name, doesn't matter. It's Antifa, basically. Antifa running for governor in Oregon, okay? Portland. Portland is running for the governor of Oregon as on the Democrat ticket, okay? Now, Nike, that is in Oregon, that is woke, as we know, and I will never buy anything that says Nike on it, ever. I always buy New Balance. They're wringing their hands because they see the out-of-control crime, the out-of-control lawlessness that is caused by Democrat policies. However, they can't get on board with going with the Republican because they're leftists. So what do? They put forward this independent candidate who's going to be a third-party ticket, that is basically going to siphon votes away from the far-left lunatic. So they're saying that the Republican could actually win. Now, here's what's going to happen if that does occur. We're going to see a complete turnaround in the state of Oregon. At least I hope. And the woman that's running, don't know her name, don't have it off the top of my head. She's a normal Republican. She's not, I don't think she's MAGA, but she's definitely conservative. And she's going to run the state like a competent person. And then the left is going to see, oh, wait, you mean crime is going down? You mean our taxes are being lowered? You mean regulations are being lowered? And, you know, we're not having $12, a gallon of gas tax on each gallon of gas. I'm not saying that's what it is, but you catch my drift. they're going to see the Republican policies work, quality of life issues, that type of thing. So the Democrats are abandoning ship like crazy right now. The Democrat Senatorial Campaign Committee, the DSCC, I think it's the DSCC, Democrat Senate, whatever it is, the Senate campaign for the Democrats. They are now pulling out, one of their lobbying PACs for the Democrat Party. They are pulling out of all of these races in the House and in the Senate that they thought would be sure things, because they're like, we're getting ready to get our asses kicked. Like, they're not even putting money in. Obama's not putting money in. He's like, leave me out of this. I'm getting ready to have my own problems with Spygate and Russiagate, which I'm going to get to with the John Durham Ego Dinchenko trial, which the left is desperately trying not to cover in the third segment. But we've got all kinds of people leaving the Democrat Party. And certainly the most famous one of recent memory is Tulsi Gabbard. And Tulsi Gabbard she's never been like a crazy leftist. And she was always kind of a breath of fresh air, I thought, in the Republican Party. She's not going to be a Republican. She in the Democrat Party, she was a breath of fresh air, because she had some sensible ideas. She wasn't a warmonger. And now it seems like all the warmongers are on the left, does it not? So Tulsi Gabbard this week left the Democrat Party. And I thought her statement for leaving was really, really powerful. And I looked it up right before the show to put it in my show notes. And of course, you know, The Advocate, which is a LGBTQ plus alphabet people publication, wringing their hands, calling her anti-LGBTQ. They're calling her anti-LGBTQ because she doesn't think that children should have their genitals mutilated. I mean, this is how effing bonkers and bat bleep crazy these people are now, okay? Because we don't want children's genitals mutilated, because we don't want woke gender ideology shoved down children's throats, that we are anti-LGBT. No, again, I'm going to say this until I'm blue in the face. I don't care if you're gay. Listen, hey, guess what, alphabet people? 90% of people don't care if you're gay. Nobody gives a crap. Nobody, okay? That's not what this is about. This is about shoving an agenda. There's my timer again. Shoving an agenda onto children and puberty blocking children, cutting children's genitals off, irreversible surgeries on children as young as 10. Like, there's something wrong with you people. And Tulsi Gabbard, all she was saying was like, we're all done here. So here's what Tulsi said before the break. I can no longer remain in today's Democratic Party that is now under the complete control of an elitist cabal of warmongers driven by cowardly wokeness who divide us by racializing every issue and stoke anti-white racism, actively work to undermine our God-given freedoms. And she said more, but you know, that's essentially it. They are hostile against people of faith. They are stoking anti-white wokeness. And I'm so glad she said that, because she's full Samoan. I think she might be half white, half Samoan, but she's, you know, a Hawaiian native. She's certainly around the culture of Native Hawaiians. And for her to say, and I think she's a practicing Hindu, I believe. But for her to say, you know, especially Christians are under attack, and especially white people are under attack. Thank you, Tulsi. Because, you know, I can't go on a show without, you know, it's always some race thing. And I'm like, why do you guys continue making everything about race? Stop dividing us based on race. But they know that's all they've got. That's all they've got is to divide us on race. If they can't divide us on race, on immutable characteristics that we have no control over, then they can't win. Because again, as I said in the last segment, the Democrats see people as groups. They do not see people as individuals with individual ambitions and individual wants and desires, individual levels of talent, individual levels of intellect, individual levels of ambition, individual levels of whatever. They see people as groups. And if they can't divide, they're not happy. If they can't stoke anger and resentment, they don't have a reason to get up in the morning. So I'm happy that people like Tulsi Gabbard are waking up. I'm happy to see Candace Owens doing this BM documentary, BLM, the greatest, what's it called? The greatest lie ever sold, or as I call it, the grift that keeps on grifting. And I am just thrilled that these race hustlers are finally being called to the carpet. The people in the Democrat Party who have for decades divided us based on race, based on gender, based on sexual orientation, based on religion. When we have a group of people that for the last 2 years sought to divide us based on if you're wearing a mask or not, or got vaccinated or not, or whatever. The people are waking up and they're done. So for someone like Tulsi Gabbard, who's been a Democrat her whole life, to say, all done, it's not insignificant. It's a great thing. All right, guys, you're listening to Angela's Soapbox on Rachel Helps Radio. A couple more segments, we'll be right back.
The battle for liberty rages in every Texas community, none more so than in the nation's fourth largest city, Houston, Texas. A tyrannical mayor denies the right to vote to the citizens of the city, signs executive orders that violate the Texas Constitution and the Charter of the City, and issues subpoenas for the sermons of pastors. And when the frontline leaders against the mayor's totalitarian agenda wanted a broadcast partner for their Faith, Family, and Freedom Tour, who did they request? RagingElephantsRadio.com.
A lot of great folks that we owe a big debt of gratitude for promoting this issue from day one. I want to recognize my friend Claver and the folks over at Raging Elephants over here. He was on it from day one. Every single week this man talks about this issue. And so thank you, Claver, for never giving in, never backing down, and continuing to be that loud conservative voice.
RagingElephantsRadio.com, the rebellious voice of Texas liberty.
Welcome back to Angela's Soapbox on Rachel Helps Radio. I had to take a break and chug a bunch of water. My voice, y'all. Help me. Help me. Help me. All right. Lots more to get to. As I said in the beginning segment, second segment, it is Democrats who are racist. It is Democrats who see people as groups and not individuals. And this week out in L.A., so indicative of who the of what the left is. There was a Houston City Council member, a couple of Hispanics. They got busted talking smack about another City Council member's kid who was black and called him a little monkey. Never a good idea to do that on camera or as it's being recorded. I'm gonna step in and kind of explain the situation and what actually was going on, but the undertone of anti-white racism, anti-black racism, it's extraordinary. And in LA, you know, there's this, and I lived there for 14 years, there's the black people and then there's Hispanic people kind of vying for top dog in the minority caucus, essentially. So there's always this tension between the two groups, essentially. So basically, Nuri Martinez was the head of the LA City Council. She was caught calling this openly gay, married to a man, little adopted black son, saying that the kid was acting white and acting like a little monkey, because basically at the gay pride parade, I mean, oh, for the love. So at the gay pride parade this year, the openly gay city council member put his adopted black child, and I'm sure that no one has ever called that child a token, right? When a leftist adopts a black child, that's oh, how amazing, how generous to open your home to an less fortunate child. But when a white person does it, oh, well, that's just, you know, they're using the black child to give themselves some credit, of course, whatever. So the openly gay, the black kids on the float, as you do, with a bunch of, you know, I guess leather daddy activists. God knows what else was going on at the gay pride parade. But I guess the kid was acting crazy and acting, as Nuri Martinez said, it was like the kid was acting like, why are they insisting on treating this kid like he's a little white kid? Like letting him run around, acting a fool, you know, acting up. And on that note, I wouldn't say the kid was acting white. I'd just say the kid is acting like a brat. So on that note, I don't disagree with Nuri Martinez, because then she said, I would have taken him out back and whipped his ass or something to that effect. And I'm like, yes, agree on that. We can't agree, Nuri. But the fact you called him a little black monkey and that he was running around acting white, like a white kid, like a spoiled white kid, essentially. I mean, it was very funny. She had to, of course, resign. I do love it when they eat their own. It's more and more evidence that they're really struggling here. And here's something else that Democrats are struggling with. They're struggling with some of their candidates. Obviously, Biden is going to be 25th amendmented after the election, because there's literally no way they can keep him or knee pads after the midterms. They're going to bring in Gavin Newsom. They're going to bring in Hillary Clinton or somebody else they think could win. There's literally not a chance that Biden's on the ticket. Neither will knee pads be on the ticket. She's dumb. She's an affirmative action hire, and it shows. But now all these polls are starting to come out, you know, questioning if Joe Biden has mental acuity. Is he losing it? It's like, yes, he is losing it. And someone else that's losing it, and of course they're circling the wagons for the sloth, John Fetterman out in Pennsylvania, the guy that looks like he's literally got a second head, goiter, whatever the hell that thing is, growing out the back of his neck. Married to an illegal alien, of course he is. And, you know, has this massive stroke in May. He's not with it. He's got to use like AI or something to plug into himself, to read off teleprompters, to be able to engage with reporters or the public. He's got to have teleprompters all the time. It's like, how is that? What? Again, if this was a Republican, he would have already dropped out. But they would have been like, nope, you can't drop out. You're the nominee. Get. Oh, well. So the Democrats are circling the wagon for this guy. And when an MSNBC reporter, an NBC reporter actually had the temerity to say, Fetterman's got some problems. Like he's got some cognitive issues. Oh, how dare you? You're not allowed to. And then of course the left, instead of saying, Let's distinguish between mental and physical handicaps, okay? So mental handicaps, cognition, brain function, being able to, you know, whatever you need to do to be on a public stage, to be in Congress, to be in the Senate, to be, I don't know, president of the United States. And then they like to say that you're discriminating against old people and people with disabilities. It's like, no, we're saying that people with cognitive issues like Joe Biden, like John Fetterman, probably shouldn't have the nuclear codes or be senators from Pennsylvania. I don't know, call me crazy. But the hyenas on The View the left on Twitter. Twitter, you know, remember, the left still thinks that Twitter is real life. And they take their marching cues from Twitter. So the hyenas on The View are like, oh, this is ageism. This is ableism. That you're going against John Fetterman. That you're going against Joe Biden. Like, whatever happened to, oh, Tammy Duckworth. I guess Tammy Duckworth, because she's in a wheelchair. Or Greg Abbott, because he's in a wheelchair. Well, they don't care about Greg Abbott, because he's a Republican. But any other, you know, someone who's deaf. It's like, no. Let's distinguish, shall we? I mean, the left is stupid. They are very dumb people. And they think that, and they know that their brain dead followers are stupid. So they think they can lump cognitive issues and mental acuity issues in with physical disabilities, like being in a wheelchair, like being deaf. I wouldn't have a problem with a deaf congressperson or a deaf governor, like, because we have a governor in a wheelchair. We have Governor Abbott had a horrible accident in his 20s. He's in a wheelchair. He's been paralyzed since he was in his 20s. No one is saying that we couldn't have a deaf leader or a leader in a wheelchair. But when we talk about someone with a massive stroke, like John Fetterman, that's a problem. Okay, guys, I have two issues I want to cover in the shoehorning. We'll see how it goes. I've got to make this shorter than usual, but famous last words. You're listening to Angela Soapbox on Raging on the Radio. We'll be right back.
What's up, Saints and Patriots? I'm Apostle Claver, a proud Texas nationalist, and I'm here to tell you about Texan. For 25 years, Daniel Miller has been working to see the rebirth of the Republic of Texas. His work has been hard, but his passion is deep. For many Texans, there is a deep yearning, a burning to see the prophecy of Sam Houston come true. But the desire of their hearts comes with many questions. Texan has the answer. It's the new book from Daniel Miller and Defiance Press. Texit, Why and How Texas Will Leave the Union. Texit charts the path to Texas independence. This riveting book of facts and philosophy will soothe your anxiety about the coming change and build your confidence that Texans can get it done. You'll want to buy several copies for your family and friends. Like I've said about this governmental mess, the only way out is out. And the best part of Texit, I'm in it. Texit, Why and How Texas Will Leave the Union. It's selling like hotcakes. Buy it on RagingElephantsRadio.com.
All right, welcome to the shoehorning segment of Angela's Soapbox on Raging on the Radio. This is going to be rapid fire. Okay, lots going on in the Spygate world this week. And of course, the media is not covering it because it does not look good for Democrats. Of course, they had no problem covering the Johnny Depp trial wall to wall, but can't cover the Igor Danchenko trial, which is proving that the FBI was working with the Clinton campaign to invent the Steele dossier, and they were paying Igor Danchenko. He was on the FBI payroll, and they paid Christopher Steele also. And Barack Obama, the first black president, offered Christopher Steele $1 million if he could validate the Steele dossier, and he could not. But what did the FBI do? They went and got a FISA warrant based on that dossier, even after they knew it was false. Even after they knew it was false, they got a FISA warrant to spy on Carter Page, to spy on the Trump campaign, to spy on Papadopoulos, whoever. Actually, I don't think they got a Pfizer from Papadopoulos, but Carter Page is suing the FBI and the DOJ. He's going to be extremely rich once all is said and done, once this all comes out. So Igor Danchenko was the subsource for Christopher Steele. He is this lower level fish that John Durham is going after. And John Durham is methodically building these cases. And he's saying, look, we want the big fish. We want the Hillary Clintons. We want the James Comeys. We want the Brennans and the Clappers and the Strucks and the Page. And it'll happen. I have no doubt that this thing will happen. And I've said this before, and I want to remind people of this because it's never brought up in the media. The book Shattered, which I haven't finished because I had other things going on, but I want to get back to it because it's so much Schadenfreude. It's basically how the Hillary Clinton campaign was lost. And in like page 25 of that book, they start talking about how they're going to spin the loss. And I do believe, obviously, this was planned way before with the insurance policy with Strzok and Page and Andy McCabe, which was what the Steele dossier was in the first place, was the insurance policy. In the unlikely event that Trump ever won, they were going to have to use this Steele dossier to get him. So Clinton said, we are going to say that the Russians were working with Trump and they stole the election. This is literally in the book. So for the media to pretend that this is like some new information when it's literally in this book that was written as a postmortem to the Hillary Clinton loss, it boggles my mind. And for them to look the other way for 5 years, essentially, and act like Trump was a Russian agent, and for Adam Schiff to go out every single day and say that we've got bombshell evidence that is going to prove that Trump was working with Putin, and it was all a lie. And that's what the Igor Danchenko trial is showing. This guy was a paid FBI agent. Steele was a paid FBI informant. And they were working to bring down a presidential campaign. Period, dot, the end. And then they were working to bring down a president. And the coup that took place was not on January 6th. It was on November 3rd, 2020, when they stole this election. And the whole reason that 2020 happened, the entire reason for the pandemic, and now it's coming out that Pfizer is admitting that, yep, the COVID vaccines do not stop transmission of the Rona. Whoopsie, all those lies we told you. Well, oops. Every single thing we lived through, the masks, the 6 feet apart, the freaking plexiglass, which, as I've said many times, is going to go down as the stupidest thing of the pandemic. All of it was a lie. It was all a hoax. It was all a scam to, number one, get rid of Donald Trump. Number two, usher in the Great Reset. And number three, as a social experiment from the deep state, from the World Economic Forum, the biggest social experiment hoax we've ever been put through, to see if people will obey, if people will submit and hashtag do what they're told. And there was only about 5% of us that were actively like, no, F you, I'm not doing what I'm being told to do because it's a scam. And as time goes on, it became 20%, then 30%. And 40%. And what they want to do with this Danchenko trial, which they're trying to pretend isn't going on, with the COVID scam and everything that they're lying about that, they continue to lie. They're trying to sweep everything under the rug. They're trying this, all this transgender crap, all this crime they're pushing on us, all this, you know, no bail that the Democrats want to do, all this social upheaval that the Democrats are pushing, it's to keep your eyes off the other stuff. The Russiagate hoax, the Spygate, the fact that they stole an election, the fact that President Trump hasn't been wrong on any of it. And when he, from day one, he said, they're spying on my campaign. This is a scam. This is a complete scam. It's a hoax. It's Hillary Clinton doing it. It's Barack Obama doing it. It's Joe Biden doing it. And he was called a liar, and he was called a conspiracy theorist and crazy. And when he said this Rona stuff is out of control, you know, he had to follow the scientists. Because remember, if he didn't follow the Faucis and the Birxes and the Collinses and the World Economic Forum and the WHO and the CDC, he would have been destroyed. So he had to acquiesce, even though he knew it was bullshit. Well, almost said it. Even though he knew it was BS, he had to acquiesce to the quote scientists and the experts. And now it's all coming out that they were all lying. And it was to get rid of one man, because that one man is the biggest existential threat that this world system has ever seen. And here's just a reminder from Buzz Patterson, Trump Retruth Truthist. Violations of the Presidential Records Act are not criminal. Otherwise, Clinton, Bush, and Obama would similarly have been raided. The Trump raid is inappropriate based on precedent. They better have big fish. Let's see it. And just a reminder, but Bill Clinton actually lost the nuclear codes during my tenure with him. We weren't raided. Also, Barack Obama, the first black president, has a bunch of presidential records that he was supposed to digitize and then send the originals back to the archives, and he never did it. Clinton has a bunch of tapes that he never gave back to the archives. Because you know why? Because those become the president's property, essentially. That a president has a prerogative to keep certain documents, especially if they're not classified. And Trump has said from day one, none of this was classified. It was all declassified. So he's now been subpoenaed by the scam January 6th committee. And I can't wait until he shows up. And he just starts laying it all out there. He needs to go, and it needs to be televised. And it doesn't need to be. He needs to say, I'll do it if I can do it in front of the American people. Because let's have at it. This is going to be epic. And what the scam committee thinks they're going to do is get MAGA up in arms. And, you know, we start riots and we start fomenting stuff. No, that's what you guys do. Like, we have jobs and we have things to do. And we also know that God wins. And we also are awake. And we're going to keep our eyes on the prize. And that is on the midterms in November. We're not going to be moved by your false flags. We're not going to be, moved here, moved there. No, we are going to defeat every last one of you. And it's going to be glorious. One more thing before I go. As I said, they're pushing their social engineering and everything like that, but people are awakening to it. It's great, but it's so funny. So this is hilarious. So I get the New York Times updates every morning because I like to see what the psychopaths are up to. Anyway, yesterday, Thursday, they sent out they always say, good morning. It's like you can hear the NPR. Good morning. What happened to monkeypox? I'll tell you what happened to monkeypox. They pretend that the decline is, oh, it's such good news. No, here's what happened. So good morning, period. Monkeypox decline has lessons for future disease outbreaks. Acting like that the deep state did something special, acting like that the CDC and the WHO did something special and different to stop monkeypox. No, monkeypox went away because it was only happening to sodomites, essentially. Gay men who are banging other gay men up the pooter. Okay, can we keep it 100? That's why it went away, because they couldn't make hay out of it, because it would, quote, stigmatize the gay community. So they had to quietly sweep that under the rug. That is the only reason it went away, ladies and gentlemen. These people, we are wise to their games. We are wise. These people are throwing everything in the kitchen sink at the wall right now, trying to make anything stick, because they know once the midterms happen, once Republicans retake control, and then when we retake the presidency, it's all over for them. It's all over. People are coalescing around common sense ideas, common sense leadership, quality of life issues, economic issues that don't have a color to it. Black, white, Hispanic, Asian. You all want to live in safe communities. You all want good schools. You all want to work. You all want to be able to provide for your family. Nobody wants all this division except Democrats. So buckle in, freaks. It's coming. Your day of reckoning is coming. It's going to be so good. All right, guys, that is my time. I need to go rest my voice. You have been listening to Angela's Soapbox on Rachel Bubbs Radio. Please check everything out on angelasoapbox.com. When in doubt, go there. Follow me on socials, Truth Social at Angela Box, Instagram at The Box That Rocks, and Facebook, Angela Box Public. Until next week, keep kicking ass and take names. Peace.